Our readings this morning come from Matthew chapter 20 and Ephesians chapter 2, and Christian and Debbie are going to read to us.
Yes, the first of this morning's readings is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 15. The workers in the vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a silver coin a day, and sent them to work in his vineyard. He went out again to the marketplace at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there doing nothing. So he told them, "You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage." So they went. Then at 12 o'clock, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. It was nearly 5 o'clock when he went to the marketplace and saw some other men still standing there. "Why are you wasting the whole day here doing nothing?" he asked them. "No one hired them," they answered. "Well then, you also go and work in the vineyard," he told them. When evening came, the owner told his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last and ending with those who were hired first." The men who had begun to work at 5 o'clock were paid a silver coin each. So when the men who were first to be hired came to be paid, they thought they would get more. But they too were given a silver coin each. They took their money and started grumbling against the employer. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "while we put up with a whole day's work in the hot sun. Yet you paid them the same as you paid us." "Listen, friend," the owner answered one of them, "I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to do a day's work for 1 silver coin. Now take your pay and go home. I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I have given you. Don't I have the right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I am generous?"
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. "But God's mercy is so abundant, and his love for us is so great, that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It is by God's grace that you have been saved. In our union with Christ Jesus, he raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. He did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness of his grace in the love he showed us in Christ Jesus. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it." This is the word of the Lord. Much of the news headlines this past week have been dominated by something we've already mentioned, the government's spending review. In fact, you can hardly fail to have noticed it. It was on every news item for at least 3 days, and I'm sure splashed over all the headlines of our newspapers. In particular, as these headlines were there, as people discussed what had happened, there came these conversations. Who would be affected most? Who won't be affected? And one of the biggest questions, do the proposals favour some people over others? Or are they fair? What is fair is so often determined by our own perspective of a situation. What one person regards as fair may be different to another person's opinion because their circumstances shape how they feel. I'm not going to comment on the government spending review, but I'm sure, like me, you've heard lots of conversations and lots of comments. And among them, I heard on the news this week, people complaining that the commitment to foreign aid had been maintained whilst there were cuts in this country. To those people making that complaint, fair was very different to how one of the recipients of the aid may have felt. Also something in the news this week, the fact that shoplifters cost UK retailers £12 million a day. Have you heard this? Apparently, over one third of the losses are said to be caused by employees. And interestingly, a news discussion about this also centred around what is fair. And suggestions were being made, with sudden pay cuts taking place and low staff morale. These things contributed to people boosting their income by stealing. Now, I've got to say, I was shocked by some of these excuses, but in some people's minds, that was fair. Obviously, my concept of fair is quite different to other people's. But it's against this backdrop of current events that we're looking today at this story that Jesus told. This is a story where you can almost hear the cries of, "It's not fair," from some of those workers. And in some ways, we can probably understand their complaint at injustice. In this story, a man went to hire some workers for his vineyard. Now, traditionally, the working day was about 12 hours from sunrise to sunset. So the first workers would have been hired at somewhere around 6 a.m. And he agreed to pay them a reasonable wage. What is unusual in this story that Jesus told is that the employer went out to hire workers again on 4 further occasions. In fact, by the time that he employed the last men, the day was almost over. So when these men eventually reached the vineyard, it's very unlikely they'd actually have had much time to get a lot of work done. Jesus goes on to say, the workers were all called together to receive their pay at the end of the day. Now, this was common practice. The Torah required day labourers to be paid at the end of every day because usually they were very poor people, and so they needed that money that night to survive. What was surprising was the fact that all the workers received the same pay, irrespective of the amount of time they'd been working. And those hired first grumbled together at what had happened, and then they complained to their employer. But the employer justified his actions, and he said it was based on his own desire to spend his money in that way. The end of this story is unexpected. It challenges our sense of justice. What is fair? Who is it fair to? It challenges our understanding of God and how he treats people, and how he determines what is fair. And it challenges our attitudes both to God and to others. Jesus must have told this parable for a reason. So what should we make of this story he told? The passage begins, "The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a man." To me, this introduction tells us that Jesus wanted his listeners, including us, to grasp something about life in God's kingdom through this story. And I think Jesus is encouraging us to see something from a fresh perspective, from a different angle. I'm sure you must have seen those pictures where you look at them, and depending which way you look at it, you can see two different things. It's interesting, isn't it? It's the same picture, but it depends how you look at it as to what you can see. And to me, I think Jesus is saying in this story, there's something else going on here that you don't see. Look at it from another angle and see what you find. The first thing that Jesus challenges, I think, is our sense of justice. The workers complained to the employer. They'd worked longer than the other men. Didn't they deserve more? Was the employer unfair? And if this is a story about the kingdom of heaven, is that implying that God is unfair? As the employer in the story points out, he had agreed a wage with the first men. It was a fair wage, and he'd stuck to his agreement. That was fair. It wasn't that the first men had been treated badly. The issue was more that the last men had been treated so well. His actions had been charitable towards those, not only because of how much they received, but also because he hired them in the first place. The story says when the employer first went out, he was looking for men he could hire to work in his vineyard. But in his subsequent visits, the words are different. He says he saw men standing there, doing nothing. It doesn't say that the work was too much for the first few he hired. Doesn't say he'd misjudged the number of people he needed when he first went out. It says that he went out and saw some men that were in need. They needed work. It didn't seem to matter to the employer that the ones that he hired last would actually have done very little for him. He saw their need for work and he hired them. If anything, what this man did was generous rather than unfair, and it was his generosity to the last men that was being questioned rather than how he treated the first. The parable prompts us to look at the situation from another angle and see a man who saw people in need and provided for them more than they expected. It reminds us that God doesn't just base his fairness on our own human understanding. God is good. He is abundantly generous. And each of us has received far more from him than we deserve. Those verses from Paul's letter to the Ephesians remind us that our salvation is not about what we do for God. It's all about what he does for us through his grace. So none of us can boast. And so this parable challenges our attitudes. It challenges our attitude towards God. There are times for all of us when life is unfair. Things go wrong unexpectedly. Good people suffer, while at times wicked people seem to prosper. And the cry goes up to God, "It's not fair." Perhaps the cry to God is even that he is not fair. In his book, Disappointment with God, Philip Yancey gives some excellent advice. He says, don't confuse life with God. Don't confuse life with God. Life isn't fair. We know we're living in a fallen world rather than in the perfection that God intended. Life isn't fair. But God is always fair. Life may treat us unkindly, but God has lavished his gifts upon us and has welcomed us into his family, even while we are still sinners. We're not worthy of his love, none of us, and yet it is ours to receive. And the change of attitude that this story challenges is to remember God's goodness and to be grateful. So often that is very difficult when we're looking around at others as those workers were and comparing our situation to theirs. Because when we're looking at others, it means we take our eyes off of the good things that God has blessed us with. Now that's not to say that we should deny the pain or the difficulties that we face. But the challenge is to invite God into the midst of those difficulties, whilst with thankful hearts we remain grateful for everything that he has done for us. It sounds a good idea, but it's by no means an easy thing to do. When you have faithfully followed God and your dreams are suddenly shattered through maybe a sudden illness or an unexpected loss, it's hard to keep your eyes focused on God. But looking around us, comparing our situation to others and resenting their celebrations is certainly not going to help us in our pain. The difficulty that we face doesn't deny that God is good, and it doesn't say that he isn't a God of justice. God is a God of justice. He still sees our need, he feels our pain, and he pours his love out to us. God is fair, even when life isn't. And this parable challenges us to see God's goodness and to thank him for his generous gifts, by lifting our attention away from those that we're making comparisons with, and by focusing on Him. A friend of mine was once going through a terrible time in life. It seemed that she experienced one tragedy after another. And as I spoke to her on the phone one day about how she was coping, she told me she'd learned an interesting lesson. As hard as life was, and it was really hard, every day she tried to find just one thing to thank God for. It was a challenge. At times the things were small, but the challenge meant that she actually looked out for the goodness of God. And she said that she was amazed at the things that she saw when her mind was tuned to look for them. And this helped her to keep a thankful attitude towards God and to find His blessings even in the midst of life's difficulties. Now, I've been there too. I followed her advice, and I know it's not easy, but it certainly does change your focus and sometimes transforms your thinking. And perhaps I can encourage you to try it too. But it's not just when life is hard that we forget to be grateful to God. This parable sometimes has been likened to the parable of the lost son, or the two sons. See, often we focus on the one that was lost and then came home. But there's this other son in the story, the one who stayed at home working for his father, who resented the celebration when his brother returned. And in that story, the father replied, "You are always with me, and all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours." But the son hadn't understood that. He didn't appreciate what he had. And like this parable of the workers in the vineyard, I think there's a challenge particularly here for those of us that have been Christians for some time. Because there are times, I think, when perhaps we forget the wonder of being saved, the mystery of God's love for us. Perhaps we can even get to that point where we feel that we deserve more because we've been Christians a long time and we've served in the church so well. This parable challenges us to remember once more all that we've received from God and to be grateful for His generosity to us. And not only does that help us keep a thankful attitude towards God, it also helps us in our attitudes towards one another. It's interesting where Matthew places this story in his gospel. Immediately before this story is the story of the rich young ruler who's challenged to sell all he has and give it to the poor. And at that time, Peter says to Jesus, "What will he and the other disciples get? Because they've left everything to follow Jesus." And a few verses on from this story, the parable of the workers, the wife of Zebedee approaches Jesus and asks if her two sons could sit either side of Jesus in heaven. The fact that this story appears right in the middle of these two incidents seems quite interesting. There seems to be some sort of undercurrent amongst the disciples. They wanted to have first place. They wanted to be nearest Jesus. They wanted to be rewarded for their sacrifices. Had these disciples forgotten that they'd each been called to follow Jesus and that they each had a role to play? Were they fighting for Jesus' attention? Were they serving him in order that they might be better rewarded than the others? Did they resent the newer followers, thinking they were the ones that had been there from the beginning and they were the better disciples? I think there's a message in this parable to remind the disciples how they should treat one another. The story reminds us we shouldn't be envious of other people's blessings, nor should we serve in order to gain better rewards. Perhaps these disciples had begun to have mixed motives in the things they did for Jesus and in the way that they served him. But their motives and our motives should be only to please the one who has done so much for us. Our service should be out of a grateful heart, not out of a desire to receive more. Now, these attitudes are in many ways the complete opposite of the ways things work in our world. People work hard to get noticed, don't they? And in getting noticed, maybe they'll receive promotion. People do things for others in return for what other people might do for them. And as they gain experience, as they feel comfortable in what they do, they begin to feel they've got more results. They begin to feel that they deserve more and they've got more rights. If we're not aware, then if we're not careful, these things can gradually creep into our attitudes in church and in the ways we see other people. I know in the past of particular people who have served faithfully in roles in the church, and eventually those roles have become a kind of status for them. Sadly, they've become reluctant to allow others to serve with them or begrudged other people who've perhaps brought a slightly different approach. Their service over time had changed its focus, and in the end it had less to do with pleasing Jesus and more to do with pleasing themselves. This story challenges our attitudes to one another, and it helps us to keep a check on our motivation in all we do. And it also challenges our attitude to people who are not like us, perhaps people who may be new to faith or maybe are still looking for Jesus. When Jesus told this story, there'd been many complaints about the kind of people that he was associating with. The sinners and the tax collectors were not worthy to receive from Jesus, according to the Pharisees. But Jesus showed that God's love reaches out to all. And often, those who'd been furthest from God were the most grateful for all he'd done in their lives. I think it's easy for us to sometimes look quite judgmentally at the Pharisees. But again, if we're not careful, the same attitudes can easily creep into our own lives. I remember a story of a man who lived out on the streets and loved very little apart from his drink. But one day he felt compelled to walk into a church. There were people there who saw him and thought, he is not like us, he doesn't behave appropriately, and he's not welcome here. Fortunately, there were others who thought differently. They welcomed the man. They spent time demonstrating the love of Jesus as they got to know him. And eventually he entered the kingdom of Jesus. We are a church who talk about being warm and welcoming. And we are. And that's something to celebrate. But we want to be more so. And if this story is of a generous employer who sees people's needs and gives them more than they deserve, if this is about the kingdom of God, then isn't there a challenge for us to be as generous and as welcoming as the employer, to have attitudes that accept everybody, that see people's needs and reach out to them, and that remember that we're all unworthy of the gifts that we receive from God? So this morning, as we reflect on this parable of Jesus, I'd like to encourage you to remember God's goodness, to be thankful for all the ways that he blesses us. God is good, and God is fair. There is no need for us to be jealous of others or envious of what they receive. God's grace is sufficient for all of us. And in response to his grace, may our attitudes to others reflect God's heart, and may our motivation be to please the Saviour who has done so much for us. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your wonderful gifts to us. We know that we are not worthy of your love. And this morning, I pray that you will remind us again of your goodness. Help us to see your many blessings and to be thankful to you for all that you have done for us. I pray this morning for those of us who feel that life is unfair. Help us to remember that you are fair. You are a God of justice. Please walk with us in the difficulties. And help us to know your love and your strength and see your goodness, even in difficult times. And loving God for all of us, as we remember your goodness and your grace, please help us to lift our eyes away from others and to you if we are comparing ourselves. Help us to lose our envy and our pride. And help us instead, as we look to others to see their needs and to reach out to them, to reflect something of your goodness and generosity as we serve you with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.